be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
Tonight's teaching is on friends. Everybody say covenant. There is no such thing as a friend without a covenant. Now you got to realize, if you're going to be flowing in the Holy Ghost and flowing in what God wants you to flow in, you got to hear the word of the season. And that word of the season is your ticket to victory. It's your ticket to blessing. It's your ticket to abundance. My friend and my friends are going to bring me to abundance. What? They're going to make your life better as the Holy Ghost makes your life better.
Amen.
And you're going to learn to pull the Holy Ghost from your relationships. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. For a man void of understanding striketh hands, and becometh surety in the presence of his friends.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now also go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. How many of you believe in relationships? You know what God was talking about earlier when he said the wholeness. Wholeness in the word shalom basically means wholeness. God bringing us to completeness and God bringing us to wholeness. In order for God to do that, he's going to get in every single area of our lives. He's going to get into us spiritually. He's going to get into us physically. It's like when you want physical healing. God's going to get involved with your physical diet. He'll get involved with everything that has to do with yourself physically. When he talks to you about how is he going to heal your soul when he doesn't deal with you emotionally and soulically. And I believe this is one of the ways that God's bringing healing to us is through teachings like this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends, if you have friends, must show himself friendly. A person that has friends has got to be friendly. You ever heard anybody ever sing songs like, I ain't got nobody, nobody cares for me, nobody loves me, or whatever it is, I'm so sad and lonely. You ever heard songs like that?
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people that are always complaining about not having enough friends. You know, the Christmas season goes by, you know, they have to spend it by themselves because nobody cares about them. And when that usually happens, that person is always out to blame somebody else while they're stuck in the ditch all by themselves.
Amen.
If you want relationships and you want friends, don't blame the world. The Bible says you must show yourself friendly. And the Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, we know the friend that sticks closer than a brother is Jesus. Did you know that? But I also believe in covenant relationship, that God has graced our lives. And as we follow the Holy Ghost and we learn certain things, you'll develop relationships and you'll develop friendships. And do you know what? That your brothers and sisters in Christ and those that you're in covenant with, they are closer relationships than blood. Somebody said, blood is thicker than water. Depends on whose blood you're talking about. The blood of Jesus is the thicker blood. And there are friends in the Holy Ghost that will literally stick closer than brothers. How many got a best friend that's closer than your brother or your sister? You can be right there. I mean, we're close. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's scripture. And the Bible gives us insight. And the Bible gives us light. And many times people want to make you feel guilty about stuff. Oh, can we get deep in relationship right now? Can we really get into this? I had to learn some of these things too so I could receive the best that God had for me. And many times people will quote a lot of stuff that's not even in their Bible. And they live it like it's scripture. Blood's thicker than water. Show me in the Bible. The Bible does say there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you got to be open for these Holy Ghost relationships to happen. Look at Jonathan and David. Look at Ruth and Naomi. They had relationships that was thicker than what you could imagine. There are friends that stick closer than brothers, but you got to be open for it. Many times you're looking to that blood sister, that blood brother to cut covenant with for you to get some things done with. You better find out the brother, sister, friend that God has for you and get an agreement with them and go all the way with Jesus. And as far as God's concerned, that relationship will bring down strongholds. That agreement will make some things happen. Isn't that great? How many of you thank God for covenant relationships?
Amen.
God is into relationships. He doesn't want you to walk this thing out by yourself.
Amen.
Isn't that great? That God doesn't expect you to walk it out by yourself. And if you're walking out anything by yourself, you are missing God's best.
Amen.
When he sent them out to do ministry, what did he do? He sent them out at least 2 by 2, in case one falls, the other one's there to pick them up. When we got Nations Church going, I would not do Nations Church. I've learned never to make a move by myself. Do you know that? I said, God, you had to send some other help there, and the Lord sent Brother Jesse, and we could do it. But every time I'd go to a different city, there'd be another saint that I'm in agreement with to get over to the other side. Relationships are important with God. And you got to be open to it. And many of you can, when you step into different things, like when we step into different things in the ministry, I'll always involve. Even though I'm the pastor, I'll involve somebody else in that and let their spirit get a hold of it. And we can have that agreement. You can stand on 2 feet like that. Cord that can't be broken. So there are friends that stick closer than a brother. And when you get them, you need to rejoice about them. Isn't it good? Don't y'all feel good about that? How many of you are experiencing that? You don't understand it. It's God. It's gone. There's always been one. One of the things I've learned in my life, God has always had somebody there representing himself. He'll never leave you alone, but you got to be open. And if you want a relationship like that, the Bible says he that would have friends must show themselves friendly. Somebody say, I'm a friendly person. And I'm going to have those supernatural relationships that God says I can have.
Amen.
Now also, let's go here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6 says this. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Friends gives gifts. And it says, all the brethren of the poor do hate them. How much more do the friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Godly relationships. Godly designs for relationship is a relationship that has the ability to give to one another. God expects when you get those relationships, that's why God's will is prosperity for your life, because it's responsibility for your prosperity. And some of the responsibility for your prosperity is God gives you relationships and he expects you to give gifts in that relationships, not just on Christmas. So I say, I'm a gift giver. And it's expected of me. You meet different people and you always see them sowing and sowing. I mean, they won't stop giving. They won't stop giving to people. A pair of earrings there, a pair of shoes over here, a CD over there, money here. Here's $5, here's $10. Relationships are about giving. And if you've got a relationship that God has given you, guess what? You're going to have to give in that relationship or you'll lose it. You don't have to give to keep a relationship, but a part of the covenant in relationships is giving. And you've got to be open to the Holy Ghost that they might lead you to be a blessing and a support. Do you know when you give to your friends, it's like giving to yourself? When you give to your friends, it's like giving to yourself because you lift their spirits. And as their spirits lifted, guess what? Your spirit's going to be lifted by the joy that they bring to your life. But you got to learn how to get these relationships. It's okay. And God expects relationships where gifts are given. That's one of the things where we must be in the area of increase.
Lord.
Somebody say, I got responsibility. I got to be rich, not just for myself, but I got some friends.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When you got a true friend, guess what? You're going to get faithful wounds. I mean, you're going to get out there. A relationship that can't deserve a couple blows, it's not a relationship at all. You don't want a relationship where you're lying to each other all the time. I mean, you want a relationship where you get out there and tell the truth and they tell you the truth. You don't want anybody you just as wrong. You don't want a bunch of yes men and yes women around you. You want people out there to tell you the truth. The Bible says in a true relationship, so don't get afraid that you want to learn to nurture relationships to where you don't hold grudges and stuff like that. But it says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody say, if you got a friend, expect some wounds. It's the truth. When you get a baby, boy, you're going to hurt. There are certain things that come in pain. Well, look at the relationship that Jesus had with the body of Christ. Look at what it cost him. Look at the pains. He said, how I longed to hold you in my arms, but you didn't let me. He said, when you get in the relationship, boy, you're going to get into some stuff that could challenge you. Real relationships at times do wound, but you got to learn to bring healing to those wounds. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Isn't that good? So that says, get over it. It'll happen, and it'll happen again. If it's a true relationship, you hit it, then you'll hit it again. You don't want to just skirt on the outskirts of things. When you get into the thing of it, you got relationships. You say, no, I can tell this person the truth. They can hang and so can I. Faithful are the wounds. Faithful are the wounds. The Bible says that. And people get all crazy and say, boy, they look like cats and dogs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They can hang. I don't want a relationship that can't hang. My God, how many of you want a marriage and you can't say, well, I want the big piece of chicken. And the other one wants a big piece of chicken. You got to be able to get over stuff like this.
Amen.
Relationships are challenging at times. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Many people cast off. See, this is what God is telling us, and this is how people miss God's best.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore.
I'm out of here.
I got to go and get healed. Everybody met those people. I went to church expecting to get healed, and they just ate my lunch. I can't take it anymore. I'm just so wounded. Faithful, that means you must have had a couple friends there. That means you must have a couple friends there someplace. And these are the other ones you got to watch out for. It says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got some people that smile in your face, and the temptation you say, but all OJs, you just say, but all the time want to take your place. You ever heard that? Backstabbers. Smile in your face, but always want to take your place. Always kissing you on your cheek, smiling in your face, but as soon as you're not there, they got the knife all in your back. Friends can tell you what's up straight to your face. They don't have to go behind your back.
Yeah.
Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I've seen many people miss it. Anybody ever seen stuff? You ever seen the movies that a true relationship will get challenged and then the devil just comes in there, you know, just comes in there gliding just as sweet and just as nice. Have you ever watched the soap operas? You see the person just, they find their opportune moment. When you're mad, that's when they come in. But it says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth and a honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The hungry soul. Every bitter thing is sweet.
Every bitter thing.
And somebody said, you must be crazy. You should go out there and get yourself somebody else. It's the same thing with marriage relationships. It's the same thing with churches. It's the same thing with churches and husbands and wives and relationships. He said, a full soul loatheth the honeycomb.
Amen.
Well, you got to learn what the honeycomb is. I mean, there are honeycomb, deceitful honeycombs all over the place. Honeycomb churches. Churches that feed like honeycombs. I mean, you need to come over here. It's real good. Everything's just going great. It's just perfect. We'll take care of you. We'll love you over here. Just because you got some friends where you were in the past that told you the truth. You see? You see? And if you didn't have a full soul, and you see, if you didn't have a full soul, you would eat up on that. But when you got a full soul, that means when you see your soul knows, what am I talking about? When your soul knows that it's full, when you're satisfied, you know, it doesn't have to be absolutely perfect at every time, but it's full, it's complete. You can't be challenged. There are times in the ministry, there are times in this church when stuff is just, the Holy Ghost is going to get on your case and he's going to use your brothers and sisters in Christ to deal with you in that way. And it's only the full soul that's going to keep you in your place until you're able to get over that stuff. But at the times when the Holy Ghost is challenging you, he'll use your friends, he'll use your pastor, he'll use the coffee being out, he'll use the coffee bar, no cream being at the coffee station. He'll use whatever he can to move you from your place. And then the honeycomb, the devil sends the honeycomb. Look out for the honeycomb. Look out for the honeycomb. What are you talking about? It says the full soul loatheth the honeycombs. I want to be so full
I want to be so full
that I loathe the honeycomb. Isn't that something? Anybody ever been challenged with a honeycomb? We've had them. I mean, we went through times in this ministry and times in this church where people have dangled honeycombs in front of our face. And they say, well, why didn't you jump all over the honeycomb? My soul, for some strange reason, was full. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When people get a hungry soul, when people aren't healed on the inside, every little bitter thing is sweet. They leave the best. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is the man that wandereth from his place. That's something that goes along with. You have to receive the fullness of the spirit of the ministry and of the church and relationships. And you wonder why people leave here, people leave there, and people get in and out of relationships. As the bird wandereth from the nest, so is the man that wandereth from their place. There is a place in God for you. There's a place in your relationships. Amen. There's a place in the body of Christ. There's a place in church for you. Don't leave your place. Stay in there, amen, even when the wounds are there. Even when you're challenged about something, stay there. Don't allow that to wander from your place. This scripture right here is basically talking about you need to meditate on the scripture when your relationships are being challenged. This is talking about relationships, when you're ready to give up on people, you're ready to give up on things, you're ready to quit on somebody, and I've had enough, I'm not getting anything out of this. That's when you need to read the scripture and find out what it really means. Stay there.
Yep.
It says this, wandereth as a bird wandereth from her nest, so is the man that wandereth from his place.
Amen.
Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend. Here's some more stuff about relationships. See, people need to find out about this stuff. There are certain things you just don't know. It says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Don't forsake your friends. See, in our culture, in our society, we've picked up stuff and we can treat people any way that we want to treat them and wonder why we don't have quality relationships and wonder why nobody wants to be around us. Why? Because we don't follow the scripture. Christians and saints should have the strongest relationships out of anybody on the planet Earth, because the Bible tells us, don't forsake your friends. That's scary. That's why the Bible says, try not to have many friends. Because with every friend and every relationship you get, there's responsibility. Don't forsake your friends. Oh, this is so hard. Now you're going to find out that the friend's responsibility is not to forsake their friends, but there are other scriptures that say that you're not to depend on your friends either. Says, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. God places around you the things that you need, and he'll give them strength to love and to nurture and to care for you, that everything will be all right. As single people, we learn those things around this holiday season. We've spent holidays together. We've spent holidays, and it's been fulfilling. It hasn't been the second best. It was God's best.
Amen.
It was God's best. A friend nearby or a neighbor nearby is better than a brother far off. So realize and visualize and thank God for your friends nearby. They are a gift from God. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Friends are there to keep you sharp, to keep you on the point. True friendships. I mean, there's a little bit of grinding in there at times. That's what relationships are all about. True friends. And if your friends aren't sharpening you to perfection, they're not challenging you. You got that old dull pencil you've been writing with and look like a kindergarten's writing it. But God puts friends around you to sharpen that stuff up a little bit, to keep you sharp and to keep you on your edge just a little bit. God uses friends to sharpen us. It says it sharpens their countenance. It means that friends make you look better. Isn't that good? There's certain things, how many of you know that God wants to work you over? There's certain ones that you're going to look a whole lot better after your friends get a hold of you. They'll tell you, girl, you know you don't need to have that on. Amen. Pastor Rod, please comb your hair. I got to get that man a shirt. Well, why are you frowning? What you frowning for? Get over it. Your friends will perfect you to cause you to look better.
Amen.
To play better. When you got the keyboard, that don't sound good. That MIDI file doesn't sound good. You don't look as good as you think. Your friends sharpen you. It's a responsibility. When your friends tell you stuff, your friends are there to get in your business, to sharpen your stuff up a little bit. That's what friendships and relationships are all about. You don't have a doll baby or a teddy bear that you throw on the bed. It doesn't talk to you and you hug it. No matter how you dress, no matter how your breath smells, you can hug that teddy bear. But when you get friends, they're going to sharpen you. The sharpening of the Holy Ghost comes from our friends and relationships. You're missing something. You're missing something when you don't have godly relationships, Holy Ghost relationships, telling you the truth. True friends. We had one time, Jesse and Crystal and I, we went to one of my favorite restaurants, Le Madeleine's. And boy, we were out there at Le Madeleine's. And boy, we weren't fussing, but we were having it, amen. We were sharpening one another. Somebody said that we had an electric, there was a pencil sharpener going. It was a truth and no cherry on top. And it was just something, and there was still love there. And someone walks up to the table, didn't they? And they said, I want you all to know, y'all are the best friends. She said, wow. And the person meant it. They weren't being sarcastic. They said, y'all are the best friends. People long for that kind of stuff. I mean, they can tell you the truth, and then it's still there when it's over. How many, that's a good quality relationship. How many of you want a car that you can't press the gas pedal down all the way? How many of you want a house and you got to tiptoe around the floor, you're afraid you'll sink through the floor?
Cheap stuff.
You can't challenge it. You want to sit in a chair that you know is going to hold your butt in it. Well, that's the kind of relationships you want. You want it to be able to take some blows and some punches and carry the full weight of what you're about.
Amen.
I mean, that you don't have to hide yourself around people. If they find this about me, it's all over. You want friends that can handle the fullness of yourself, all of you.
Amen.
That's what friends are all about. That's what relationships are all about. I want a friend, I want a friend that can tell me anything and say, they don't bother me. And say, it's a relationship. I can handle it. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what churches are all about. That's what relationships are all about. That you can give them the full weight of yourself and they can handle it. We sharpen one another. I mean, you got to realize that your friends love you anyhow. I mean, we all got different hang-ups and stuff like that. Love you anyhow. Amen. Love you anyhow. Care about you anyhow. Somebody say, we can make it together. Say,
I'm your friend.
On your best day. And on my worst nightmare, that's the day when they're at their prime. That's what relationships are all about. We can hang together. This is what relationships are all about. Now it says in Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Now it says that forsake not, the Bible tells us to forsake not a friend. It's talking to when you have a friend, don't forsake your friends. How do you forsake your friends? You don't respond. And you got to learn how to respond. Respond in prayer. Doesn't mean you have to do anything, but at least you have to take it to God. I mean, when your friend has an issue, doesn't mean you're the one that got to pay all their bills and go through all their hang-ups with them. You better listen to the Holy Ghost. You just can't ignore. So you're not allowed to ignore. And if you have friends that you have to ignore, you need to check and see whether that's a relationship that God wants you to be with.
Amen.
You don't have friends that you don't answer the phone for. You need caller ID for everybody else but your friends. Forsake, not your friends. And when you do those things, you break covenant. You're not going to make anything mad. You stop the miracle of godly relationship. It's wonderful to have people, somebody say, no matter what, they'll be there.
No matter what, they'll be there.
So as your responsibility is not to forsake your friend, but the other end is this. It says, trust not in a friend, and put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth, from her that lieth in thy bosom. Trust not in a friend. Don't you forsake your friend, but don't trust your friend either. Somebody say, that's a trip. Explain that. Don't forsake your friend. Don't trust your friend. Oh, boy. That means as far as it comes, don't you let your friend down. You be trustworthy with your friend. Okay? But it says, I will look unto the Lord. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That means you can let those things be made known, but don't you ever put your friends in the place of God. Make sure that your relationship is based in God. God is the only person you can ever trust. And the only one that say, hey, that person's not going to let me down. I tell you what, the minute that you expect your friend to be your confidence, God himself will disable that person to let that person not become the person you can depend on. God must be your source. Wow. I mean, that means that if I'm going to be a friend, whenever this person calls, my response is, I will not forsake my friend. I will not forsake my friend. And that's what relationships are all about. I will not forsake my friend. And she'll have a friend that won't forsake her. But even though that friend knows through time that friend won't forsake her, she will never develop a dependency on that person because they can only trust in God. Always. You'll learn these things. We're going to find out that you can't walk in this with everybody. You can't walk in this with everybody. There are different types of friends and there are different types of relationships. We're talking like best friends and different things in covenant relationships. This is so good. It says, but I will look unto the God of my salvation. You're lucky because it's like this. You're just lucky because I'm your friend. I don't need you. I got God. I don't need you, but you understand that's just my responsibility.
Amen.
I'm your friend because I choose to. Amen. See, that stops people that don't have relationships are always telling somebody else how to treat their friends. They don't got any friends, but they're trying to tell you how to handle your friends.
Amen.
You ever notice that? They don't got nobody they can call, but because you're choosing to be faithful to somebody, they're in your face about it. That's enough. You mind your business. You go get some friends. The reason why they're telling you that's enough is because they don't have anybody to do it with. The good thing about relationships, you will find something back from relationships as you become the friend. He that would have friends must show themselves friendly. And that's what friendships are all about. It's you showing yourself friendly.
Amen.
You should. I'm going to wait for them to do this, then I'll do this. I'm going to wait for this, then I'll do this. Well, that's it. I give you your Christmas present a week early. That's letting you know, amen, that I expect one on Christmas Day. And I'll keep it in the back closet. It's your choice for you to walk in that anointing. And you don't know. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will have you become friends that don't have the ability to be your friend back at that time. But God himself will somehow become that friend, that intercessor for that person. You're going to realize you bless your friend. Sometimes God himself will come back on it on their stead. You didn't understand. You looked out for a friend. And all of a sudden God says, hey, you just on your friendship relationship. I can jump on that. Practice on your people that you can see. And then God will turn around and bless you there. Now, there are different types of relationships. There are different types of relationships that we can get. There are some relationships that you can enter into. It says, the Son of Man came not eating in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. A friend of publicans and sinners. They said that Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Anybody ever read that scripture? That Jesus was friendly with worldly people. You're not to have friendships with worldly people. Don't even try it. You're missing God. What it's talking about, that scripture that word friend there can be changed out for neighbor. He was a neighbor. You can be a neighbor, but that doesn't mean that you have a covenant relationship with people in the world.
Right.
And there are a lot of people that wonder why they don't go on with God because of ungodly relationships. You have to treat the world one way. You don't show favoritism, but there are certain things that you can get. You should not expect anything from worldly relationships. You can't be a friend that way. What do you mean? Well, I say, well, Jesus was their friend. He just ate and did some things right there, but he was there ministering to those people. He was ministering to those people. It was a big difference. He wasn't expecting anything back from them. He wasn't there because he needed something from them. He wasn't there because he was lonely. Church people are a trip. They trash everybody around them, and then they go to the world and say, I'm going to be a witness. No, you're just lonely. You ever said, no, I'm going to be a witness to the world. You know, I'm tired of being around Christians. No, you didn't. You just mad at everybody. You don't care about being no witness, because if you cared about a witness, you've been a witness before.
Right.
I see it happen time and time again. I mean, I've been in this thing for over 20-some years. I mean, people will always be people. It's the same thing, different face. You see people that can't get in relationship, so they go to the world. Make covenant with the world. You can be a neighbor. There is a relationship. There is a way that we respond to the world. There's a way that we respond to people in the world. There are worldly relations. Hey, you got to be in the world and you got to be a neighbor. But there are certain things that you just don't get into with them. We're talking about these friends. Now, we know this is not covenant. The friendship that Jesus was talking about here when he was talking about friendship, friends with the publicans and the sinners and all that, we know that friend was not a covenant friend, because here we go, Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then saith the king unto the servants, Bid bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So Jesus did not have covenant relationships with worldly people. He put them out of his presence. Out of his presence. People try to make excuses to be just like everybody else. I mean, we get out there with worldly people, marry them, best friends here, do all this other stuff. Birds of a feather flock together. Bible tells us to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Your relationships with people that are not safe, you are witness and you are missionary to them. You are missionary to them. You speak to them. You speak into their lives. You bless them. Amen. But don't you receive anything coming back that way? Are we catching anything here? It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. And we're going to find it in Scripture too. There is a covenant relationship, and you are not to be in covenant relationships with unbelievers. You cannot keep an anointing with a covenant relationship with a non-believer. It's unscriptural and unbiblical. Here it is. James chapter 2, verse 23. Faith, we're talking about friendships with God. How can you have any friendship with anybody on the earth when you don't have a relationship with God?
Amen.
Abraham was the friend of God. And we're going to find out. Why did Abraham move in faith? Why did Abraham get all those things that happened? Because he was God's friend. James chapter 2, verse 23. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God is not your friend until you live by faith. And God doesn't call you his friend until you believe him. Abraham believed God, and God called him his friend. Anybody want to be a friend of God? Increase your faith and believe in him and trust in him, and he will become your friend. And what does he mean, friend? It's not the same thing as friend in the world. That word friend means a covenant partner. Abraham believed God, and therefore he became a covenant partner with God. How many of you want to see your covenant fulfilled? Well, walk like Abraham walked. Walk in covenant. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7. It says, Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Abraham is God's friend forever. Abraham has a covenant with God that will stand forever. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is all a result of Abraham's covenant with God. Because Abraham became God's friend, we have relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationships mean something. That means you're going to heaven Your escape from hell came as the result of a relationship.
Amen.
You're saved today because God called Abraham his friend.
Amen.
That's how we got the Jews. That's how we got the children of Israel, because Abraham believed God and God said, listen, I'm going to be your friend. And out of all of that, we got everything we're walking in today. Tell me relationships aren't important. What you have in Jesus Christ today came because somebody cared about somebody and somebody moved without God. And when we can start, that's why I said that we need to keep the bond of unity. We need to keep the bond of unity and stay out of strife and stay out of all of these things, because really relationship, this whole Christian thing, this whole thing that we're dealing with is based in some sort of relationship.
Amen.
And when you void out relationships, God's got something about relationships that's important to him. And when you go against relationships, you void out everything. They were always talking about Abraham because Abraham was nothing but God's friend.
Amen.
And because he was God's friend, he had a what? A covenant. So when it said Abraham believed God and he was God's friend and he became God's friend, it was like Abraham believed God and God said, listen, I'm going to be your friend. And when you were God's friend, you hooked up with somebody that got something.
Amen.
Covenant. There's an anointing within you. There's something within you. There's a spirit of God within you. Then as you get in right covenant, guess what? You're going to activate some supernatural things in your life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The spirit of agreement, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Touching anything, agreement moves some stuff.
Amen.
There are a lot of lonely people. Now, James chapter 4, verse 4. Somebody say, man, you're sitting up there, you all crazy. Sitting up there saying you can't have a covenant relationship with somebody that's not saved. No, the Bible says it.
Amen.
The Bible says it. James chapter 4, verse 4. Right here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, that means anything connected in that cosmos, anything in that system, anybody in that system, anybody still connected there, the only way you can be out of the world is to be in Jesus Christ. Other than that, you're a part of it. When you find somebody that's not saved, guess what they are? The world. If they're going to go up with the world, God calls them the world. If he didn't call, because when he destroys the earth and the cosmos, they're going down with it. They're going down with it. So don't you draw a line and say there's a difference between the cosmos and the world and the unbeliever. They're all linked in this thing together. He said, you're of your father the devil. If they don't have Jesus Christ in them, they are children of the devil.
Amen.
If they're unrejuvenated and they have not received Jesus Christ in their life, they are seed of the devil, still under the sin of Adam and Eve. Nobody wants to hear that. Why did you get saved? There is a difference. If any man be born again, behold, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. And there's a problem with the body of Christ that they don't want to separate. We cannot effectively witness to the world when we're just like the world. James chapter 4, verse 4. Wherefore, adulterers. See, this is why we get so much adultery. We wonder why in the church there's no difference between this one sleeping with that one. And your relationships mean nothing because it's the spirit of adultery. You say, listen, if you're going to be in the church, then be in the church. If you're going to be in this thing, be in this way. He said, I would have you either hot or cold, not lukewarm. Get in or get out. There are two realms. And you can't, I've never seen anybody, period, that had a mindset to be so caught up in this world system and everything about the world and so worldly minded and still walk in the fullness of anointing.
Amen.
You got to make up your mind what kingdom you're living in. Touch not the unclean. Separate yourself. There ain't nothing an unsaved person can give me or do for me.
Amen.
The only thing I can do for them is give them Jesus.
Amen.
Give them life. What thing you got in common anyhow? What thing do you have in common with them anyhow? The only thing you can relate to them in is the flesh, which you're not to sow for anyhow. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And that word friend is a covenant partner, is an enemy of God. Everything you got is invested in the worldly system. You see people that get nervous. The stock market shakes a little bit. They get nervous. Men trusting in things on the outside instead of trusting in things on the inside. Covenant with the world. The covenant with the world today is the reason why most churches are so weak. You know, and the world's just got them in slavery, I can't come to church. I just can't get up for work or whatever it is, you know. Covenant with the world. Your covenant with the world will outdo. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve both systems. You're not going to be able to go full-fledged in this Jesus thing or in Christianity until you make up your mind that you're no longer going to serve the dollars and the bucks and the system. This is not an addition to the worldly system. This puts away the worldly system. It replaces it. Separate. Don't be afraid. Anybody that has a covenant relationship with the world is an enemy of God. When you cut covenant with God, you stay with God, period. Because everything you're linked with, he becomes linked with. Exodus chapter 34, verse 12. We're talking about Abraham's covenant, which we've entered into. We've entered into Abraham's covenant. Anybody learn anything about covenant? We wonder why worldly people get out there with so-called saints. Friendship with those people will only come against your faith. They can't hear God and won't hear God. They don't care whether you stay full. I mean, you get in a bad mood, they're going to take the opportunity. They don't care whether you get to heaven or not. If they're not going themselves, what do they care about you getting there? They don't care whether you live right or wrong or any kind of way. You don't want to be linked. What are they going to sharpen you to? They can't sharpen you. Better find yourself some saints. Keep godly relationships. Don't say I never told you.
That's
good. So don't come to me when you got a bunch of ungodly people and get up there and say, it's not working, it's not going right. You should have never done it. Cut it off. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee, but ye shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with who? With the inhabitants of the land. You're trying to take over the land. You're trying to take over the world. Don't covenant with the things, the system that's there now. You're trying to take it over. Don't get in agreement with it. Don't get in agreement with debt. Don't make no covenant. Stand, separate yourself. You're about to take over. Worldly saints they're just a trip. People, they don't have any faith in God, any faith in the church. They're living their life on their checkbook, on their little retirement plan or whatever they got. That's the way they're living. Guess what? Tomorrow's not promised. It's the truth. And people live that way. If I just got more money than this one, nations have fallen in a day. And America's not heaven. It's just a country. Look at Rome. And Paul preached there. And that became a Christian nation. You better make up your mind and trust your covenant. Somebody tell you to come worship the Lord. You couldn't beat them out of their house to worship Jesus. But you let there be a 4th of July parade. You better be careful. You can honor your nation, but you better honor your God. We're no different. That's the same thing as the Hellenistic culture. I mean, you get in on this big picture that everybody, I'm not preaching against the nation, don't even get off that way, but they had the same thing go on in the Bible days. They call it the Hellenistic culture. You worship your way, I worship my way, and we'll all just get along together. This great society, you can fit anything in and we'll all just blend there. The Jews had problems with that because they said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. I mean, until the church stands up and say, we are the church of the living God, until we honor Christians around the world, I'm going to tell you what. I don't care whether you're an American citizen. The one I'm concerned about is that believer out there, the Christian citizen, whether he be in China, whether he be in Russia, whether he be in Rome, and that's my brother. That's the city in which we dwell,
amen,
or wherever he is. But there are so many people, I mean, we just get so caught up in that stuff. We consider ourselves, we separate ourselves from believers all over the world. But boy, you hold a little parade, you put yourself a little button on your shoulder, and boy, you better have as much Christian patriotism as you do nationalistic patriotism. Nothing wrong with being patriotic. Pro anything. You better get pro Jesus.
Amen.
For God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. I mean, God is so jealous, he only wants you hanging out with people that know him. God is a jealous God. I mean, he wants to totally consume you.